I know. You can't. Good morning. Can you guys stand with me? Oh, man. You guys, I know it's like when we look around and it's just us, it feels very naked and very But I want us to get excited, okay? Because in Philippians, like probably 8 months now, the Lord has really been working on my heart about, regardless of what's going on around me, to make sure that I'm rejoicing in Him and making sure that my eyes are set on Him. And it doesn't matter what it looks like in the flesh, because regardless of what it looks like in the flesh, God has a solution, right? And God is doing something behind the scene that sometimes we can't even see. We know He's doing it, and it's impossible for something to happen when we set our hearts to Him, when we like put our minds towards Him, when we allow our hearts to rejoice in Him. And then Philippians 4:4-9. It's like, this is just where the Lord has had me for the last little while. And I want to read it to you guys. It says, rejoice in the Lord always. I say it again, rejoice. Can we rejoice right now? Can we say, hallelujah, Lord. Thank you so much that we get to, worship you, that we get to be in this time with you, despite what things are not happening our way at home, or whoever's not here, God, that we would just set our sights on you. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, or in otherwise, be saturated in prayer, you guys, and in worship. With thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely and admirable, is anything, or if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about those things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. So you guys, what I see in the gospel of Jesus was that when he was overwhelmed or overstimulated or had things going on, he would step away and he would get in his quiet place with the Lord, right? He'd either press into people and give them what they needed, or he'd step away and he'd say, all right, God, I'm just going to put my forehead to yours. And so I want us to take that time today just to get our forehead with the Lord's and just begin to believe the things that he has for us and the things that he says over us. I want us to be excited about God. You guys, God can do so many things. Whether there's 100 people or 5, God still moves mightily. And I want us to be excited about that. Are you guys excited about Jesus today? Are you guys excited about Jesus today? Woo! Woo! So let's get our hearts ready to praise, y'all.
Heavenly place undefeated. Singing hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you. just gone through the motions, I'm sorry. And I just sing another song, take me back to where we started. I open up my heart to you. And I'm sorry when I come with my agenda, I'm sorry. I open up my heart to you.
just the voices and say, I just want you, nothing else. Okay.
I just want you.
Couldn't help but rejoice in who you are, Jesus. Father, I thank you for spending time with us in this morning. God, we give you all the glory, all the praise, all the honor. You're matchless in every way, Father. Nothing else will do. People said, amen. All right, go ahead and greet one another. Sorry, I'm still bathing, guys.
All right, we're going to do our declarations. And if you guys can stand with me, we are going to pray over our city, declare things, good things over our city, because God is still madly in love with the valley. Amen?
Amen?
All right, let's do this on the count of three. One, two, three. Thank you, Lord,
for what you are doing in the Yakima Valley right now. And today we declare that my city will be saved, that revival will sweep the streets of the Yakima Valley, that every business, big or small, will thrive, that the families in my city will have all of their needs met. I declare that every politician in our city and state would have the wisdom of heaven, that you would use me in doing all of these things, and I declare that your will be done in the Yakima Valley
as it is in heaven. Amen. God, we just thank you so much for who you are in this place. God, we thank you that you love Yakima, Lord. You love the valley, God. Your hand is on this place, God. And I just pray, God, that we would continue to see through the lens of you, Jesus, Lord. We would begin to see our city. We'd begin to see the places that we reside, Lord, the places that we go and where we live, God, as places of God, Lord. That I declare, Lord, that all the houses here represented, all the homes here represented, God, would be houses of the Lord, God. Lord, and that your presence would permeate throughout this place, God. We thank you, Jesus, that you're doing mighty things, God. Even when we can't see it, you're still moving. You're doing mighty things. And I thank you for all these things. In Jesus' name, everyone said, amen. Amen. You guys can be seated. We have a few announcements. So this next Friday, June 13th, we're having a men's barbecue. So all men, please put it in your calendar for the 13th at 6:30 at Zeke Villalobos' house. And Pastor will send out a text message this week. week with the address if you don't know where that is. And it's going to be a great time. Again, like I always say, this is a great invite time. So if you have friends, family, coworkers, say, hey, we're gonna go and grub, come get a meal, and it's a great time to connect. And then the day after that is our youth yard sale. And so we're still collecting donations. I would encourage you to this week go through some stuff. And if you have some things that you want to donate to our yard sale, that's Nancy's number there on the screen. And you can get a hold of her. And we will schedule a time to either have you drop it off or we'll come get it. And we're just believing that God's going to bless the yard sale and the fundraiser. And all the money that comes in is going directly to our students to our youth camp this summer, which is just in a mere, 8 weeks or something like that. And so it's going to be great. So again, if you have some stuff, please donate. And then last, we just want to thank you for giving. Thank you for tithing to this house and believing that your tithe and offering goes further than you can imagine, than you can think. And again, you can tithe here in the box there, box in the back and online. Thank you guys for doing that. And then are you... Okay, and then I'm going to ask, where are our kids? Okay. Yeah.
So I just want to share with you guys about the declarations and how powerful your guys' words are. Because as a person who gets the privilege of working in the streets and working with the least of these and sitting in the dirt with them, I need you guys to know that since we've been doing these declarations, which it seems like sometimes we don't get the testimony, but I do. I get to see the revival that's starting to happen in the people that are homeless right now. And like, I have to tell you, like over the course of the last 6 months, well, it's actually been about a year now. About a year ago, we had one of the most hardest people to reach. He was so indignant and so like, he's way too smart for his own good. Like very smart guy. He's like, just, I mean, he could have been to MIT. He did go to MIT at one point, but then he just kind of got cut lost in life and decided to get into drugs. And then now here he is in the street. But he felt Jesus on one of the outreach times that I had with them, and he decided to make a choice to go into our program. And then as you walk through our program, he has given his life to the Lord. He's witnessed to others on the street and brought in 4 others that have come in behind him who also have now given their hearts to the Lord. And these are very difficult people who have been so indignant and that they hate the Lord, that he has nothing for them. And now they're baptized. They're preaching out the word on the street on North First. They're out there giving their time. They want to go out and outreach with me. So I just need you guys to know that these words that we're saying over our city are super powerful. And I know it doesn't always feel like it because we're just here in this room. We don't get to see it, but I do. And I want you guys to be encouraged. So keep putting out those declarations. Keep praying for our city because God's doing things. So thank you.
Amen. Do you want to invite the kids up?
Yeah.
All right. Leona, Tegan, children, will you come up to the front? We're going to pray for you guys as you guys go downstairs. All right. Well, Jesus, we just thank you for these little ones. We thank you, Father, that you are moving mightily, Lord, in our young people, God. And we thank you, Jesus, that, again, like I like to pray that they are not the future of the church. They are the church. And so we thank you, Father, for who you are and what you're doing in these young lives. And we just pray, God, over the time they have downstairs with Nancy and pray that you would continue to grow this ministry and bless it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right. So happy Sunday. I hope you guys are having a great weekend. Our weekend has been full of good things. As you guys know, we are in graduation season, and there's many of people that are going into transitioning into the next stage of life. And we have been many of grad parties. Yesterday it was 4 in one day, and I had to go home in the middle of the day and take a nap. But it was great. And so I want to share a message today on the parable of the sower. So Pastor has been talking about parables, and coincidentally, I shared with our youth about this very parable. And when he said that he was going to be gone, him and Gay were going to be gone to celebrate their grandchildren over in the Tri-Cities, I thought this is what a perfect timing. And so the parable of the sower, this is a parable that we have heard many times, but I want to start by saying this. All of us are here because someone somewhere sowed seed at some time in our life. So all of us are here in your faith. You were here because someone somewhere, whether you know it or not, sowed seed at some time in your life. Those who have said yes to Jesus, their soil was prepared and ready, even when it didn't seem like it. And as I'm talking about this today, I want you to begin thinking about maybe definitely your own soil, and I'll explain that here in a minute, but the soil of people's hearts that you know, that you've come across, whether they're family, they're coworkers, because, I'm going to get to this as well, but there's nobody too far gone. So when Jesus is thrown into the mix of somebody's life, there's nobody too far gone for Jesus to pierce that heart, to get to that soil, to actually see fruit. There's no one. And I know this from my own life. Not that I was so far gone, but and I've talked about this before, but when I came to know the Lord, shortly after I came to know the Lord, I was made aware that my father-in-law, or at that time my future father-in-law, had been praying for me. And we used to do something cool here in the church in the move days, where we did the prayer of three. And so you would have three people and you would pray for them. And the plan was kind of like, once you see a person saved, you cross them off and you put somebody else in that mind, and you just keep praying for those people. And I was on Tim's prayer of three. My soil seemed rough on the outside, but my soil had been, over time, it had been worked on. Over time, it wasn't just all of a sudden, like, magically I came to know the Lord. No, there was some work on my soil that God had done. And so I want to read this parable that this is Jesus talking. Jesus is the one that told parables. And in Matthew 13, it says this, 1-9, it says, that same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered around him, and he got into a boat and sat in it, while all the people stood on the shore. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on the rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly before the soil was shallow, or because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still, other seed fell on good soil where it produced a crop, 160 or 30 times what was sown. Whoever has ears, let them hear. Now, I don't have it in front of me, but there is a passage here in the Bible, in the Gospels, where it talks about how Jesus always spoke through parables. And he spoke through parables, not necessarily to his disciples, but to the people. Why? Because Jesus cares about us understanding what he was talking about. So we, in today's day, have to go through and figure out what this meaning and what was Jesus talking about, and why did Jesus talk about seeds and soil, and why did Jesus use the prodigal son parable or the lost sheep or the lost coin? Why did he use these? Because Jesus cares about us understanding, about his people understanding. Jesus was the greatest communicator to ever exist, and he knew. He knew who he was speaking to. So he knew, if I use this parable about a sower and about seed, these farmers are going to understand what I'm saying. They understand the concept of where you're supposed to plant seed. All right? So we have to appreciate that, or we should appreciate that very much, that Jesus, if he was in this day and age, right, if he was walking around today, he would know who his crowd was. And so he begins to explain this in Matthew 13, because his disciples don't understand. So he generally would always explain and break it down for them. So in Matthew 13, 18 now, it says, listen then to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their heart. This is the seed sown along the path. The seed falling on rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word at once, receives it with joy, but since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. The seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of the life, of this life, and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. But the seed falling on good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. This is the one who produces a crop yielding 160 or 30 times what was sown. Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you so much for today. I thank you for this word. I pray, God, that you would be with us today, God. Be with me, Lord, as I share this message, God. And I just pray, God, that these words would be your words, God, that you would move through me, Jesus, that you would begin to, or even right now, God, condition hearts, God, to receive what you have for them, God. We thank you, Jesus, that you are here, you're moving, God. And just because the music stopped playing, God, that we don't have to stop worshiping. Lord, that we can stay in a space of worship. And God, I just pray your presence, God, would just continue to rest on us, would continue to breathe in this place. And I thank you for all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Here's something that I believe is that a lot of us can be the seed falling on rocky ground. Do you have 21? Or can you put that back up there, bud? The second, Matthew 18 or Matthew 13. So in 21, but since they have no root, that they last only a short time, when trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. Now I hope that in this place, that in this house, we have no deception, that we're not so deceived that we think that our life is not going to have troubles, because that is life. Life is going to have troubles. Life's going to have hardships. We're going to go through some stuff. People are going to betray us. People are going to talk bad about us. We're going to lose jobs. We're going to lose money. We're going to lose people in our life through broken relationships, through death. Like, life is going to happen. This is why it's very important in our lives, we're rooted solely in Christ, not rooted in circumstance. I'm not rooted because I have a job that provides for me and that, like, that's not why I'm rooted, right? I'm not rooted because I have cars that work. I'm not rooted because I have money in the bank. Like, those are great things, and I'm really glad that they're happening in my life. But without all that, am I rooted in Christ? If all that's taken away tomorrow, am I rooted in Christ? And this is where people get messed up, and I've seen it happen, sadly, in lives of people who know Jesus and who you would think, like, nothing could ever shake them, and then life hits them, and they get shaken, and they get taken out, and you look and realize, oh, there was actually no root. There was the what they were rooted in was something that was so shallow that when life came and took them out. And this is, it's important that we stay diligent in our faith. So my first point is this: don't assume you are good soil. We could read this and think, yeah, that's me. I'm the one that's rooted. I'm the one that I'm good soil, and I hear the word and I understand it. You may be good soil. You may have good soil in your heart. You also may not have good soil. That's a real possibility as well. So we can't assume that we're good soil. How do we know? We assess our soil, right? I'm sure you guys know this. This is probably not, you know, major news to any of us here, but we produce here in the valley a lot of things, right? A lot of fruit, a lot of hops, a lot of grapes for wine and whatnot. We actually, like, it's something 70 to 80% of the apples in the nation are from here, right? When we lived in California, we'd go to the grocery store and we would pick up an apple and it would say Yakima on it. It would say the Yakima Valley. Why is that? Because there's good soil here. The reason why we're able to produce as much as we are is because there's good soil here. We have to assess our soil. Is my soil good? 2 Corinthians 13:5 says, examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Or do you not realize this about yourselves, that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you fail to meet the test? examine yourself. What in my life reflects Jesus? What in my life is good soil? Is it do my words produce good soil? Do my actions produce good soil? Does my thought life produce good soil? This is something as this is why we have to continuously put our faith to a mirror and say, am I reflecting Jesus? It's very important that we do this. The second we begin to coast and be like, yeah, I'm doing great. Are you though? This is why we know this, that we have to take our cars to when the check engine light comes on. We don't ignore it. We assess what happens. We put the little thing in the thing and say, hey, give me the code so I know what's happening here, right? This is why every 3 months or however long we go get our oil changed. This is why we take better care of things that don't matter at the end of the day than we do our own soil sometimes. This is why when our phone falls in water, we take it and we put it in rice, which I don't actually know if that works, but I've done it many times, and yeah. This is why when something breaks that means nothing, we go and fix it because we care about things that don't even matter. But when it comes to our soil, when the check engine of light comes on, we're quick to say, oh, I'm fine. I don't need to address what's happening there. I don't need to address what's in my heart. I don't need to address the unforgiveness. I don't need to address the anger. I don't need to address the sadness. But our soil matters, because if we're not actually checking our soil and life happens and the enemy comes to attack us, this is why when Jesus was tempted in the wilderness, his soil was so good, was so pure that at his weakest moment, the enemy did not attack Jesus at the beginning of his fast. He attacked Jesus when? At the end of his fast. 40 days and 40 nights, no food, maybe water, we don't get that, but possibly not even water. And the enemy comes in to attack Jesus. And how does Jesus respond? He responds with the word of God. He responds in a godly manner. Why? Because the soil was pure. Are we going to be able to withstand when life hits us? Not if our soil is not good. Not if our soil is not tended to. Psalm 139, 23 and 24 says this, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any grievous way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." When's the last time you asked God to show you if there's anything that needs to be taken out? I'm a big proponent of feedback. I like to give feedback. I also want feedback. And it's not always fun to get feedback. And so it may be on my leadership, it may be on my preaching, it may be whatever. But I'll reach out to people and say, hey, is there something in my life that you see is not good? Is something in my preaching that you see I could work on? Is there something in my leadership? And it's a scary thing to say. It's a vulnerable thing to say. Tell me how I'm doing in this area. Tell me how am I doing in this way. We have to be able to be real with what is good and what is bad in our life. I had a friend years ago where I witnessed him and his wife have a moment. And as we know, those who are married, you have moments with your spouses that are very good, and then you have moments with your spouses that aren't very good. And it's just, that's just the reality of it. And I experienced this moment, though, because it was in a public setting. And when I saw it happen, I said, I know for sure that my friend does not want to be that type of husband. I know that how he just treated his spouse is not the type of husband that he would want anybody to think he is. And it's a very scary thing to do when you maybe not correct, but you give feedback on something so vulnerable, whether it be parenting or marriage or finances. Like, these are areas of people's lives. It's like, hey, you have to be very sure and very close with somebody to say anything. But I felt this conviction in my heart because I saw this moment happen and I was like, man, that's a bummer. I know that's not the husband my friend wants to be. So I let a few days go by and I call him up and say, hey, can we have a conversation? Can I talk to you? He says, yes. And I'm nervous. Like, yes, I like to give feedback, but I also am not willing to just, I don't want to cross the line. And so I bring up this moment and say, hey, I saw this happen. And I just want you to know, I'm telling you, because I love you, because I want you to know that I want to champion you in your marriage. And I saw this moment happen, and I don't think that's who you wanted to be in that moment. And it was scary. And he did appreciate it, and he did not repent, but you know, he was able to see the error of his ways. But the only way we're going to ever be in that space of being able to receive where we're wrong in our lives is we have to be open. We have to be open that our soil might not be as good as we think it is. We have to be open that our faith in God might not be as strong as we think it is. We have to be open to that. So don't assume you are good soil. My son, he was in scouts for a while, and every year they do this fundraiser where they thatch. Now I hadn't even heard the word thatching until we started doing this, and I say we because my wife and I would go and volunteer with them. They do it every Saturday for like 8 weeks. It's a long time. And I never liked it. I never wanted to do it. But I loved my son enough because it would be money towards his scouts camp and all that stuff. So we did it. And this is what I learned about thatching. And I've said this before. I'm not like a you know, outdoorsy lawn person. Like, I mow my lawn to not be, just so simply to not be that lawn on the block. That's as much as I care. But like, I don't like know anything about much of that stuff. So, but listen to this. If you don't thatch your lawn, okay, if you don't remove thatch from your lawn, it can create a barrier that prevents water, nutrients, and air from reaching the grass roots, leading to a less healthy and vibrant lawn. Thatch can also trap moisture, potentially causing fungal diseases and other problems. So your soil, the soil of your heart, needs to be taken care of, right? Again, something that doesn't even matter. Who cares if the lawn looks good or not? Some people spend hours and hours making sure that the outside of their house looks amazing, which there's nothing wrong with that. But we'll spend hours and hours doing that, and we won't spend a few moments seeing if our heart is okay. We won't spend a few moments assessing our soil, making sure that the inside is okay. Your soil needs to be taken care of. We never can go on coast mode. My second point is this. It's your job to tend to your soil. This is one of my favorite things, and I say that sarcastically, but one of my favorite things about working with young people is this thought that magically a meeting on a youth night is going to fix teenagers. I also work at a Christian school, and it's also amazing that this is that I believe that sometimes parents will send kids to Christian environments hoping that their kid will magically get fixed by Jesus in this Christian environment, but there's not actual Christian work in the home. And I see it week in and week out at my job, and I love the kids there. I love the families there. Also, we're trying to teach them Bible, teach them Jesus, and your family doesn't even go to church. Your family doesn't even, you don't even know where your Bible is half the time. And so it's no one else's job to tend to your soil except your own. It's not my job. It's not the church's job. It's not the pastor's job. It's your job. The grass isn't greener on the other side. It's greener where you water it. The grass is greener where it's mostly tended to. Okay, have you tended your soil? Here's the harsh truth. Have you tended your soil? You know if you have. And everybody around you knows if you have. There's only so long you can fool people in this Christian faith before people start to see the fruit of your life. So you know if your soil is tended to, but eventually everybody around you is going to know if your soil is tended to. Matthew 7:16 says this, you will recognize them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? So every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased trees bears bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, you will recognize them by their fruits. What fruit are we producing? We have to make sure that we, again, are tending our soil, taking ownership of our soil, taking ownership of our heart, and assessing the fruit. It's pretty simple, almost too simple. A healthy tree, bears good fruit. Diseased tree bears bad fruit. Jesus made it pretty simple, made it pretty easy. You want to bear good fruit, be a healthy individual. Why is my life in array? Why am I always angry? Why am I always sad? Why am I always frustrated? Why am I always overwhelmed? Are you taking care of your soil? How do you take care of your soil? The practicalities of this, I don't want to say they're simple, but they start simple. What does your devotion life look like actually to the Lord? Other than what we do here on a Sunday morning. I love the Sunday gathering. I truly do. Also, and hear my heart when I say this. Also, if we're not careful, the Sunday gathering can become an idol in itself. I can't get close to the Lord unless I get to the Sunday gathering on Sunday morning in the building. I can't get close to God unless I hear a message preached by Pastor Mike. I can't get close to God unless I'm in a worship set when they're singing songs. That is not the point of the church. Point of the church is to equip the saints. The point of the church is to come into this place and to gain knowledge and to gather some things and go out there and do something with it. So, how is your soil? Are you tending to it? How is your devotion life? Are you in your word by yourself? Are you praying? Do you have good influences around you? Are you processing what God is doing in and out of your life? Are you actually filtering the things that you're consuming? I mean, I work with teenagers. This is something I'm constantly trying to get them to understand, is that what you consume matters. In the same way the food, what you consume in food matters. I have kids, I have teenagers that will count the amount of protein they're eating because they're trying to bulk up. But they won't even think for a second about what they're watching on their phone or what they're listening to. And then, why am I so frustrated? I can't hear God. And to me, I look at them and say, hey, let's just assess. What are the last 10 artists you listen to? And what are they talking about? And I'm not that type of youth pastor that's like, oh, don't only listen to Christian music, don't listen to secular music. I'm not that type of youth pastor. However, when it becomes solely that, and then you come into church and you think that my 1 hour in youth group is going to fix my life, it's a joke. It's like, okay, well, you're going to stay the same if you're not willing to change for Jesus, right? If you're not willing to get a balance where God is the center, and then I'm allowing Holy Spirit to convict me of, hey, these things are not good for me, maybe not forever, but maybe for a season. But we have to assess our soil. We have to take care of our soil. So getting in our word, praying, getting around Christian people, looking at our lives, what are the things I'm consuming? What are the voices I'm allowing in my life? Am I gossiping? Am I talking bad about people? Am I talking bad about people I know? Am I talking bad about people I don't know? My last point is this. All soil is salvageable. Salvageable. To rescue or save, especially from wreckage or ruin. Nobody's too far gone. Ephesians 1:7 says this, in him we have redemption, that is our deliverance and salvation through his blood, which paid the penalty of our sin and resulted in the forgiveness and complete pardon of our sin. In accordance with the riches of his grace, which he lavished on us in all wisdom and understanding with practical insight. Years ago, I bought this play structure from Costco, and it was right before Tegan was born, and I put it together, and I'm telling you, I don't know much about much, so I laid it all out in my lawn, because in my mind, that made the most sense, but what I didn't account for is that it was going to be out there for a little bit, and as I started to lift up the pieces I needed, I realized I was killing my lawn in those spaces, okay? I don't know much about much, okay? You don't know what you don't know. Well, one, I didn't even know that I did this, but apparently I had laid this huge piece, I don't know, probably like 10 by, I don't know, 5 feet or something. I laid this huge piece in this part of our lawn, and I genuinely don't remember doing this, but the only reason I know I did do it is because that 10 by 5 piece in my lawn was dead, like just died completely. And it just stayed dead, and it was just this weird part right in front of the play structure. But then something began to happen, because my wife knows a little bit, and she began to plant some seed and begin to take care of those areas that had the patches in it. And all of a sudden, the grass started to grow back. And now that you can't even tell that it's not there anymore for the most part. Here's my point. God makes all things new. God makes all things new. If we don't believe God makes all things new, then what are we actually doing? If we don't believe that God can come and restore our lives from the depths of hell, from the depths of our own hell, then what are we actually doing? If we don't believe that he can't come in and take a broken individual, take a broken so sinful, take a person that has done the worst of the worst, then I actually don't know what we're believing in. Revelation 2:5 says this, and he who was seated on the throne said, "Behold, I am making all things new." Also, he said, "Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true." This is the God that we serve, that he makes all things new. Again, as we're thinking about what does my soil look like, you may be thinking, my soil is not good. My soil needs a lot of work. I have good news for you, church. We serve a God who makes all things new. Yeah, but I've tried it before, and I've tried it. Doesn't matter. He makes all things new. And so it's not a one and done. It's not a God that we come and we try and he's like, all right, we've already tried this before. I'm done with you. No, he is a God that is always welcoming us with open arms. He makes all things new. Our soil can be redeemed. And not only your soil, but your friends, your family, your coworkers, they could be redeemed. There are lost individuals all over the world. There are lost individuals in this city. There are lost family members that we know, friends that we know. You could think of them right now. They come to your mind right now. You want to know who you're supposed to be praying for? Those are the people you're supposed to be praying for. The person that has gone so far and there seems like no hope, that's who we need to be praying for. That's the soil that we need God to move in. Those are the people that we need to make sure that if you want to do a prayer of three, you want to do a prayer of five, you want to do a prayer of one, regardless, that's who I need to lift up. That's the soil that I want to see God redeem. Who has God put in your life to help tend to their soil? Think about that. Who has God put in your life? Boys, you can come back up. I want to end with this story because it's something that happened recent. But there was a young man that I had in my class. And this is somebody who I wasn't a fan of. And I love teenagers. I really do. And I try to see them all through the lens of Jesus. But there was an individual that just got me fired up every day, because I was like, man, this kid does not care. And it doesn't matter what I say or what I do or how I try to encourage. And anyhow, and throughout the year, I began to just keep doing what I do and love him and pray for him. But I remember I would talk to Nancy and I would just vent about this one kid. And by the end of the year, you know, me and this kid built some relationship. And by the end of the year, he even like wrote me a little note, like, thank you for making Bible class so fun and all this stuff. And again, this is somebody who could care less about the Christian environment, could care less about the Bible, could care less about Jesus. Like, you just looked at him and said, you don't want to be here. You don't care. Okay. So fast forward, you know, we continue building a relationship, and I continue just, you know, being his friend, continue just, I don't want to say minister, because there was not really ministry happening. Like, there is ministry happening through love. That is ministry. Just loving somebody is ministry. But there was no like preaching necessarily or anything like that. And then this kid graduated, and I went to go congratulate him and gave him a hug. And he looked at me and he said, you know, he's like, I'm gonna have to come through to youth group one of these days. And I was like, yeah, absolutely. And I look at that moment of June of 2025, and I look back at the moment of September, October, November, 2023. And this is a kid that I was like, if this kid transferred classes, I would be just fine. And I look, I go back in those moments. I'm like, all soil is redeemable. I don't know what's happening in him. I don't know if he's ready to receive Jesus. I don't know what's happening. What I do know though is I got a picture of a kid who could care less to a picture of a kid who cared a little bit more. Because all soil is redeemable. And that's a big deal. And so as we go back into worship, I want us to be thinking about our soil, about the soil that what God is working on, the things that we're trying to ignore, the things that we're trying to forget, the things that we're trying to put as a backseat, like we'll take care of this later, and bring it to the forefront. God, what in my soil do you want to take care of? Where are the weeds that you want to take care of? Where are the rocks? Where are the thistles? Where are the things that you want to take care of? I also want us to be thinking about the soil of those that we love. Who are the people that we need to be praying for? And I want you to put their names on your lips today, and we begin praying for them. And let's make a choice this morning to not only tend to our own soil, but to take care of and help and pray for the soils of the ones that we love, or the ones that we know, or the ones that we know that God is saying, this is somebody I'm going after today. So Father, we thank you so much for who you are. We thank you for the move of God that you're doing in our lives, God. We thank you, Lord, that you have brought us, Lord. You've brought us to this place, God, in our faith. And I just thank you, Father, that you took us, Lord, from a place, Lord, that was leading to not a good place, and brought us to you. And I just pray, Father, that you would continue to move in our hearts. God, I pray, Lord, that you would move in the hearts of those that we know, that we love, those who we know, Lord, need you, need a touch from heaven. God, we lift those people up this morning. God, I pray that you would just continue to remind us, God, remind us of those names, remind us of that person or those people that need to know you, God. The fathers, the mothers, the brothers, the sisters, the friends, the co-workers. Lord, make our hearts soft for those people. Whether they've wronged us or not, make our hearts soft for those people. And I just thank you for this. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, let's worship you guys. presence. God, I pray that as we leave this place, we would not leave your presence in this place, God, but we would walk out with your presence, God. As we go about our day, as we go to lunch, as we go hang out with friends and family, God, whatever we have today, God, that your presence, God, would be with us, Lord. Again, I lift up, God, our soils today. God, I lift up, Lord, our soils, Lord, our hearts, the conditions of our hearts, the conditions of our minds, God. Help us, God, be closer to you, God. Help our lives reflect you, Jesus. Help us be the best representation of Jesus Christ, Lord, in our friends, God, in our workplaces, God, in our homes, God. When we're in the car by ourselves and no one knows what we're thinking and what we're saying, God, let us be the best reflection of you, Jesus. I continue to lift up, Lord, those lost ones, God, those ones who don't know you that need to know you, God, in our lives, God. Highlight them to us, Lord. We thank you, Jesus. I thank you for your goodness. I thank you for your mercy. God, I thank you that you love us. I thank you, Lord, that you're moving mightily in our lives, Lord, even when we don't feel like it and when we don't see it, God. You're moving, Lord, in our lives. And I just pray, God, that you continue to move, Jesus. I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Everyone said, amen. Have a great week, you guys. Thank you, worship team.